Sorry, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Matthew, the book of Matthew. Mercy. That was last week. That was a test. Pray for me this morning. We're playing a game called We're Doing the Best We Can with What We Got. We got a few people out sick today. Here we go. All right, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20 says this, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for in your goodness and in your mercy and in your love, sending your son to die on the cross for sinners like me. Lord, I pray you move aside the stumbling, stuttering man. Lord, let your word speak to us. Father, help me not to be a distraction. Lord, just let your word speak true. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So much talk about gifts this time of year. Amazon, Walmart, antique shops. You go down to Frankenmuth and all the little stores there, and it's packed. Everyone trying to find the best gift. Everyone trying to make sure that that perfect person has that perfect thing that's going to make them perfectly happy. And a lot of people I talk to, well, I didn't do as much this year. I guess I'm a bad mom or a bad dad or this or that. Listen, let yourself off the hook on that. All right, if you think celebrating Jesus' birth has anything to do with standing in line at Kmart, well, not Kmart, I guess, that's dating myself, Walmart. If you think standing in line at a Walmart makes you a good parent or a good grandparent or a good whatever, you are absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. But when we think about that, what is the best gift? The best gift that anyone could ever have is salvation. To know that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin, that is by far the best thing. And we ought not to give ourselves into the distractions. Well, I would love to have a great career. I would love to have a big old boat. I would love to have this over here in the countryside. I would love to have all these. Those things, they may be fun. Those things, they may be great. But they do not last long, do they? You sit there, well, we need the best technology, the brand newest computer, the brand newest phone. We need to make sure we have these things. Well, what happens by the time you get the thing home? They done released another one. What did I see? They're up to the iPhone 15 or something like that. The iPhone 15 or something like that. 15 new ones in the span. It just seems like we just started using smartphones, doesn't it? And that they would have 15 iterations of the original that they would have at this point. And then they've got various different sizes of them and different shapes of them and different things. Oh, we got to go have it. And then by the time you get the new case on it, they're on the news saying, hey, there's a brand new one being released tomorrow. Aren't you so excited? We go and we have things. We have cars that we love and toys that we love. You know, when you're a kid, you got certain toys that you love. When you're an adult, we got our toys too, don't we? Things we love having, things we love playing with. I remember Danielle's grandma gave us a leaf rake, this big old thing that drives behind our tractor. Man, I had fun with that thing. You know what's going to happen to the tractor one day? It's going to wear out. You know what's going to happen, kids? You're going to lose your toys. You're going to forget about them. And one day when you're like 30, 40, 50 years old, you're going to go down to mom's basement. You're going to see those toys again. You're going to go, ah! And then you're going to give them to your kids, and they're going to go, oh, okay, you know. That's what's going to happen. It's what happened to your parents. It's what happened to their parents. Things don't stay exciting anymore. They don't last forever. Here we live in a time or in a place where rust and moth corrupts things, where it just destroys the value of things. The one thing that never loses its value is to know that your sins were covered by the sacrifice made by the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest gift we will ever have will not come in packages. It will not be shoved under a tree. It will not be expedited shipping. It'll be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When we look at that phrase, that they will call his name Jesus, we look at that name. Words mean things. And we've gotten to a point in our culture and our society where many other societies have gotten before they've fallen, where our words mean nothing. We say them and we don't know what they mean anymore. We're just using phrases. And I'll tell you this, a lot of Christians have been there for a long time where they're using words they don't understand. And if we could just get back to the meaning of the words in the Bible, we would have a better connection with God. Jesus, Yeshua, Jehovah is salvation. That's what Yeshua means. When we say Jesus, that's what we mean. That the Lord is Jehovah. Or the Lord, that Jehovah is salvation. Forgive me. Jehovah is salvation. Salvation from what? Salvation from what? Well, we know, don't we? All we have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We know we're sinners. I have not talked to a single person out there that doesn't know they've got flaws. I haven't talked to a lot of them that know that just because they know they've got flaws, that ain't enough. I don't know a lot of people that say, I've got flaws and this is what I'm willing to do to fix them. But I know a lot of people, they know they're flawed. I do things to go against what I know is right. We're sinners. Well, why? Why do you do it? Answer simple. I want to do it. Why do you want to do it? I don't know. I know it's counterintuitive. I know that it ruins my life. I know that it makes things difficult. I know that it's causing problems. But I just keep wanting to do it. That's your sin nature. Each and every one of us bound and shackled by innate desires innate to us in our bodies, craving to do wrong. Craving to do things against what we know are right. And despite what we can do, we can never stop it entirely. And because of that desire, because of that nature, because of the things that we've done, we understand through Scripture that the wages of sin, the penalty, the payment for sin is death. I tell you what, since the day Adam and Eve ate that fruit in the garden, there has been death. And it has broken our hearts. It has destroyed us. Like the brother prayed this morning, praying for those who are mourning during this time. Death is a terrible thing. But for the believer, it is a time of great transition where they go to heaven. But it is not because of them or their merits, but because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the wages of sin is death, and not just death, but eternity in a lake of fire and eternity in hell. Where we would throw anything that was as corrupted as we are. Many of us, we quarantined. Why? Back during the 2020 pandemic. Why? Because we didn't want to get sick. We didn't want anybody else to get sick. But yet, we look at God and we point our finger at him and say, how mean is it that you would throw your creation out? That's where you put corrupted things. But that was not the story. That's not even the whole story. It's not even part of it. What it is just what the sad part of it, of those that would reject God. Those that while God has his hand out and says, I will save you. They say, no, I'm good. I'm good with my bottles and my pills. I'm good with my entertainments. I'm good with my lifestyle. I'm good with how I feel about myself. I'm good. And then they wake up living forever. In a place just for that kind of behavior. Hurting people. Taking advantage of people. Blaspheming God. It is a place of torment for such. But Jesus, it says Jehovah. Who's Jehovah? Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. God is our Savior. You see so much conversation nowadays. Well, can we really trust that the Bible says that there's a Trinity? Jehovah is Savior. Jesus is just as much God as God is. Three in one, one in three. The math doesn't work, but it's beyond us. But I tell you what, God in His love, in His infinite wisdom and in His mercy, sent a part of Himself down to be hurt and abused, to be insulted, to be hung upon a cross, and to die, to take that penalty. Somebody had to die for my sin. And the thing was, because I couldn't live a perfect life, when I died, I'd had to go there. I had to go to hell. But when Jesus died, after living a perfect life, made it possible for people like you and me to have forgiveness, to have that penalty paid for. And again, we got to be real careful with how we view forgiveness. It's not a matter of God letting things go. It was paid for. It was paid for. Imagine being in a place where you were behind on a bill, and the penalty for that not paying that bill was coming, and somebody pays it for you. It wasn't forgiven. It wasn't forgotten. It wasn't let go. It was paid for. Paid for. And that's what the Lord has done for you. He has paid for your sins. If you're here and you're saved this morning, He has paid for your sins. If you're here and you don't know anything about salvation, whether you've got it or not, He can pay for your sin. You just must trust. You must believe. Jehovah is salvation. Salvation to a broken world. Salvation to a world that doesn't make much sense. I want you to try to wrap your head around the behavior of most of the world today. It don't make a lot of sense, does it? We send billions of dollars over to other countries while people in our country starve. We've got trillions of dollars in debt, and yet we're just handing money away. Would it not be easier for us to take care of our veterans and take care of our sick and take care of our hungry? That'd be so much easier, wouldn't it? Amen. Don't make much sense, does it? We sit there and we've turned schools into a place to learn indoctrination for humanism instead of focusing back on the reading, the writing, and the arithmetic the way that it used to be. You sit there and you see some of the homework assignments that come home nowadays, and you see the bend into it, and you see the things that they're trying to lead people and teach people into, and you go, well, this is a math problem. How are we talking about this during math? Of course, that goes with my other disturbing thing. Back when math used to be, if somebody had 63 watermelons, you know, remember back when you used to have those mathematical problems and somebody'd end up with 63 watermelons? That's where I would get in trouble. I would stop and go, why does he have so many? You know, what was it? There was this long math equation where somebody had candy bars, and I had the teacher pull me aside because now if he's got this many, it was like hundreds of candy bars, and he's got hundreds of this and hundreds of that stuffed animals. What does that make? What does that make Bert? I can't remember the guy's name, and I go rich. And the teacher didn't accept that because I was supposed to have like a number there. She's mad. There's supposed to be a number there, and I go, a million rich. You know, a lot of this world doesn't make much sense. A lot of it doesn't make much sense. The things that they believe, the things that they do. I mean, my goodness, why on earth do we pull people over for drunk driving instead of giving them breathalyzers at the bar? If I was a police chief, man, that's what I'd be doing. Because you know what? What if I miss them and they go and they get into a wreck and they kill some family? Just saying. Yeah, now personally, my personal thought on this is, why do we allow people to have establishments where people get so inebriated that they've got to drive home? Don't that make sense? Danielle and I have got this joke. We'll drive by some of those convenience stores that you can drive into, and they'll just bring the stuff to your car. You ever been inside one of those? She goes, that's dumb. People just sit there and get yourself some alcohol on your way. Yeah, down in Ohio, they've got those drive-through liquor stores. That doesn't make much sense, does it? But you know what else doesn't make sense to me? The fact that you can go to a restaurant or to a bar, get yourself polluted, and then the idea is, how do they get home? Well, they can always call for a taxi. They can always call for an Uber. You know what? You're right. They always could. But they don't. The fact that we can see what we're doing with this over-entertaining and over-stimulating kids and what it's doing to them mentally, but we keep doing it. We keep doing it. Oh, wow, ADHD is on the rise, anxiety is on the rise. And oh, yeah, by the way, we understand that electronic devices and spending too much time on that causes these symptoms. So we better come up with better and bigger and pressure parents to let their kids keep doing it. That's why you can't see a kid sitting there in a restaurant anymore without his head in something. I see kids nowadays, they got the tablet here, they got their earphones on, and they're walking through a store. Makes me wonder, no. Gives me, talk about anxiety, it builds mine up. Because you know what I'm thinking? That kid's going to smack into something. Right? You're smack into something. You can't hear, you can't see. A high-lo driver is going to come and take you out. But well, it keeps them quiet, keeps them calm. Until we're in high school and they're having a hard time doing their schoolwork because they got a 7-second mind frame, you know. And we can't sit there and say that sitting in front of the television for 7 hours a day was doing anybody any good either. We're overstimulating ourselves, and then we're wondering why we got all this frustration and this anxiety. This world doesn't make much sense. We needed saving. Because at the end of a life filled with stimulating ourselves with things that made us feel good for a while, we would develop illnesses because of those things that we were doing, and then we would die and spend forever in hell. But God in His mercy says, no, I will redeem my creation. I'll have a relationship with those that would have a relationship with me. He brings to this broken world salvation and redemption. And it is a salvation and a redemption that He can bring to you. And it is not just, if it was just that He saved my soul, if it was just that He saved me and paid the debt for me, man, that would be enough. Man, if I lived 50 years after and could never walk or move my arms, that would still be blessing enough. If I never got to see again after I was saved, that would be blessing enough to know I was saved. That would be enough. But it's not enough for Him. He keeps going. And He teaches me things. And He shows me issues with my personality, issues with my character, issues with my thought processes and my actions, and tells me what would be better so I can live by them and have a life, and not just life, but life more abundant. Why doesn't that bother you? Because I don't do the things you do. Yeah, I've talked to people and I try to be nice, but eventually it just boils down to that. Well, how come this never happens? Because I don't. How come you don't get speeding tickets? Well, I'll tell you, there's a secret to it. Come in real close, don't tell nobody. Well, how come you've never gotten in trouble for staying out too late drinking? Well, let me tell you. What about this problem? What about that problem? Well, the Lord says if you stop doing that, it won't lead to this. Oh, that's narrow-minded. Okay, well, go ahead. And then they find themselves in that pit the Lord warned about, and they look over at you. Man, you got a lucky life. It's not luck. You know, we've got somebody that I was talking to just recently, and they told me, well, God can't solve all the problems. As a matter of fact, I couldn't find, you know, God made me like this, and He can't, and He's not going to be the one who is going to be able to help solve it. I go, so you're sick, right? Yeah, I got a sickness. Okay. Well, number one, God don't make you sick. Sin makes you sick. It's our nature. It's in our nature to be feeble. It's in our nature to be frail. It is in mankind's very nature to break down and die like it is everything else in creation. Nothing lives and lasts forever. Everything has flaws. Everything has structural issues. Why? Because this is a cursed earth, my friend. Sickness will happen. But you know, there's ways that you can do and live. They'll not exacerbate that sickness. Right? Let's look at diabetes. I don't mind picking on that because you know I'm picking on myself. You know, I've got diabetes and I can pray and maybe the Lord will take it away. Maybe He won't. So far, I still got it. So what do I got to do? I got to look to the things I'm doing right to not make the issues worse. Right? Big old bowl of pasta, probably a problem. Yeah? Half a birthday cake, problem. As a matter of fact, depending on how sick you are, any birthday cake, problem. Sneaking candy, problem. So people tell, well, the Lord can't do anything about mental illness. You know what? There's a lot that the Lord does to help with that. Number one, He can cure it like He can cure anything else. You ain't special. You ain't too strong. You ain't too broken. Ain't anybody ever too broken. The Lord can't help them. And number two, if the Lord chooses not to take it away from you, which often happens, we all have to live with our thorns in the flesh. If it does, there's some things that we can do to not exacerbate those problems. Right? Here's an idea for those that have issues that are picking fights with everybody and they're fighting and stomping with everybody and they're rude to the people that they say that they love. Let's look at what the Lord says about love, compassion, forgiveness, treating others with kindness, treating others the way you would want to be treated. Hey, wouldn't that reduce the amount of anxiety that you feel, the frustration that you feel, if you learn how to treat people the way God treats them? Would it take your problem away? No, still going to have issues, but would it take away a lot of the problem? Absolutely. You got a broken leg and you're going to hop right up on top of it, you're going to have more issues. That doesn't mean God can't help you. It means you're being a fool about it. Take care of it. Do things God's way so that you don't have things worse. So that things don't get worse. You don't put more pressure onto it. Right? Well, I've got anxiety issues. Well, what is it? Why I worry about things getting done. I worry about this and I worry about that. Put it in the Lord's hand. Don't you think the Lord's going to take care of things? Well, that's not very easy. I know it's not very easy. We're people. We're people, and if you've got issues with it already, you're going to be spicier people. That's just the way it's going to be. But God has given us things to improve our situation. Well, doesn't make it, that's not going to go away. Just because it doesn't make it go away does not mean it's worth it. Anybody here, you get migraines? Man, I get some nasty migraines. You know what I do when I get a migraine? I'll go out, grab some Excedrin migraine, and I'll take it. You know what? It doesn't make it go all the way away, does it? Doesn't make it go all the way away. But it makes it better, doesn't it? So would I be a fool for not taking it? Just because it doesn't make it go all the way away? And you say, well, no, brother, if it gives you relief, do it. If the Word of God and living a biblical life makes your issues better, do it. Not even because it makes your issues better, but because God says to do it. Listen, you got to learn to listen to the manufacturer. You got to learn to listen to the one who built you. Who created you? Who thought it okay to put on flesh so he could live a perfect life and die for you. And he had to do so because we've all sinned. We know that verse, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our best could never do. Now, we don't say that to put people down or to hurt any feelings or to wiggle with the self-esteem of people. The fact of the matter is, there's nothing I can do. I can't fix my sinful condition. I can fix my behavior. I can fix the things that I think about. I can fix the things that I entertain myself with. But this old flesh is going to desire what this old flesh wants to desire. And it's my job to do what the Bible says and mortify the flesh. I got to tell it no. But even if I told it no a trillion times, even if I did everything I could, I saw in the news Jeff Bezos is going to give the majority of his billions of dollars to charity. And somebody put in the quote, somebody must have been visited by three ghosts last night. That was funny. You could give $1 billion to charity. You could dig 1 million wells. You could feed 1,000 people. You could build housing for those who are destitute and in need. You could do a whole world of good and never outdo one sin that you've committed. Now, does that mean we don't do good? Yes, you ought to still do good. But what you need is Christ. But you need is Christ. Breaks my heart. Hey, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? I don't know if I'm good enough. Let's rephrase that. I don't know if I'm good enough. And that's the truth. Zero sin allowed in heaven. And we all have it. We come from the womb speaking lies, upsetness. But thank goodness, thank God, there is a Savior. And so many say, well, the rules that God has, the things that you're preaching, they condemn people. They put people down. They put people into a box. It's not very fair. It's not very right to be judgmental, to tell somebody that they're wrong. Listen, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It was not his intention to tell us that we were sinners, to make us feel bad, to put us down, to insult us, to make us feel miserable. It was his intention for us to know that we are sinners so that we could find his grace. Because people who don't know they do wrong will never listen. Let me tell you who the most dangerous people in the world are. The most dangerous people in the world are the people who do no wrong. The people who do no wrong can't be wrong, and you can't tell them nothing. They are dangerous. Dangerous. and we are building society to be more accepting of this idea that your truth is unapproachable. Your truth cannot be questioned. It is a dangerous thing. We see the murderer on death row. Did you kill these people? Yes, I did, but I had every right to because I didn't like the way they spoke to me. I was poor and I was hungry and they weren't going to give me the money, so I had to shoot them. Because I needed it, and I didn't have a great upbringing, and society didn't hand me silver and gold when I was born, so I had to go shoot them. And we sit there, we go, oh, he had a hard life. We know a lot of people who have hard lives, and I think we ought to make people with hard lives have easier lives. That's just something God's people ought to be doing. But we never justify sin. We never justify murder, but we hear these things. Oh, there's justifications. Oh, no, we got to consider the whole of their past. You know, there's a lot of people I know who had traumatic and terrible pasts that did good things. As a matter of fact, the vast majority of people who have hard lives don't go on to commit crimes. But we drop the standards. Why? Well, no, it's not good to tell people they're wrong. It's not good to tell them that they've done bad. No, it is very good. Because when we develop people who cannot be told that they are wrong, when we develop a people who refuse to take instruction or correction, we create a hot mess. Instead, we must be open to the idea that we could be wrong. We need to be open to the fact that we could be doing wrong. How many arguments take place over kitchen tables among families this time of year? Because people see it their way and they refuse to consider, perhaps I am wrong. Perhaps you're wrong about the idea of us being good at heart. Perhaps we're wrong about the idea that we're doing our very best. Perhaps we're wrong about these things. And what we need is a Savior. Because that is the truth. We need a Savior. And through Jesus Christ, that's exactly who we have. Because we all have sinned, he came and died on a cross for us. Go ahead, take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 8 for me. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. I love the book of Romans. It tells us exactly what we are, tells us exactly what we need, and tells us exactly how God is providing those needs. Verse 5 of Romans chapter 8, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. This carnal body comes with a carnal mind. What do we mean by a carnal mind? A carnal mind is that which fixates and focuses on sin. It's that part of your body that wants a third helping. It's that part of your body that wants to say that nasty thing. It's the part of your mind that craves ungodly material, the salacious material that we talked about on Wednesday. It is that craves to do wrong. And those that are in their carnal mind cannot please God. And those who are not in the Spirit, those who are in the Spirit are not Christ's. We must be in the Spirit. Many people say, well, I think I'm a Christian. I'm trying to work God out in my own way. Don't put God in your own image. God made you in His. You seek who He is and you'll find the answers. That bothers me. Oh, no, I got to go out and find who Christ is. I got to go out and I'm just trying to figure out who God is to me. Just figure out who God is. He'll take care of the rest. And you ain't going to find it on the television. You ain't going to find it going from book to book at the store. You're going to find it right here. Isn't that convenient? As the scripture said, holy men of old, the book is already written. You need simply look in there, look inside of it to find God, to find who He is, to find what matters. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What that's talking about there is that we are debtors, not to the flesh. Well, you see, I got to do this. I've talked to a lot of people. I need this sin. I have to have this sin. No, you don't. What does that sound like to you? Bondage. Bondage. This time of year, it always gets me. It's closer to January, February, where it really gets cold around here, where you'll see people out there smoking or vaping, whatever, on the outside, and it is freezing. Remember, what was that cold day we had back there? It was like negative 5 degrees or something like that. And I'm seeing people outside of the back of a restaurant having a smoke break. Man, I'll be honest with you. If I had to step outside to eat, I'd be a lot thinner. Really would, man. I would. It just goes to show you how far we go for the things that satisfy us. Well, don't you wake up hungover and sick? Yeah, but what are you going to do? Hey, don't it hurt you to be so heavy like that, brother? Yeah, it does. Hey, doesn't it get costly and expensive to go out and keep having to find a dealer to buy those things? It does. And every single last one of us, we know exactly what that is that drives us. We're not supposed to be debtor. We're not supposed to be in bondage to our sin, to where we are willing to put ourselves into extreme discomfort in order to have it. We were down in Cincinnati, and we were walking through, and a guy had left a bar the night before, and he had become so inebriated that he fell asleep in the bench outside of the bar. And it was cold down there in Cincinnati, and it was the kind of Cincinnati where you don't want to be sleeping out on a park bench in the middle of the night. We're just kind of sitting there amazed that he made it. And he woke, hey, are you okay? Are you all right? He woke up, and you ever, maybe you've experienced this, you ever stand up and it literally feels like somebody dropped a bag of dominoes or something like that? Just literally sounded like somebody stepped on a bundle of sticks. Just crack, 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 crack. Because sleeping on a bench is a bad thing for your back. It really is. Everything, every bone in this man's body was singing when he stood up. And he sat there and goes, oh, well, do you think they're going to be open soon? We took him to McDonald's. Just think about that. Think about the lengths you have gone to for your sin, and tell me that verse ain't right about us being in bondage to our sin. But for those of us in the Spirit, those of us who are saved, we're not supposed to be in bondage. We're supposed to be free from that stuff. You know, somebody was talking, well, you know, I can't remember exactly what sin it was they partook in, but they got a whole lot more of it during the pandemic. And they're like, oh yeah, the rates went high and it really put us beyond, but we definitely needed it. I said, didn't you get really sick during that time? Yeah. We went too much on this and it was bad. We're not supposed to be in bondage. Well, Matt, how much did you spend on it? I never did. Never got in trouble for it. You know, I've got family members and they've gotten themselves into trouble with things. And, you know, I sit there and I talk to them. I say, well, I know you're not one to believe in God, but are you at least enough to believe that what it is that you're doing here is problematic for your life enough to change? No, you're taking this too seriously. I go, well, next time I won't take it seriously at all and I'll leave you in there. You know, if it ain't so serious. You know, you get to arguing last night? Yeah. Cops get called because you were arguing last night? Yeah. You spend the night in jail? Yeah. What does that tell you? Well, you know, things just got a little out of hand, but it's okay. The lengths we go to. to sit there and have our sin. And we need to realize that it is not about making us feel bad. It is not about making us feel guilty or judged. It's about us understanding a need that we have. We have a severe need for salvation. We are not to be under bondage. We are not to be under bondage of those sins. So what do? We go back to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So what do we see now? We see a group of people who sin out of a desire built into their DNA, who do things that are hurtful to themselves because they get a modicum of good feeling for it for a day, for an hour, for whatever, because saying that thing made them feel good, because treating somebody like that made them feel good, or they got benefit from it somehow, and we fall into bondage of this, and we stay in those chains of doing things that are bad for us, and things that are bad for us, and we keep doing that till the day we die, and because we served sin, we went where sin's going, and that's hell. But God came in the form of Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross. Why? To save his people from their sins. Again, I'll say, so many folks that get caught up. Well, you guys say this and you guys say that. You Christians have your rules. Those rules are there for a reason. I ain't met too many people who haven't run afoul of the bad consequences of what sin does, either in their relationships, their bank accounts, their work life, their criminal record, whatever. That sin always finds a way to get you. And then in the end, eternity in hell. But he saved us. Saved us. He died. I want you to consider this. I want you to consider every gift you've ever given. And I want you to try to imagine a price tag for all the gifts you've ever purchased. Birthday, Christmas, graduation, moving, home warming, whatever. I want you to consider every single last one of them. Were they ever as expensive as death? Did they ever require as much work as dying did? That's a gift, isn't it? Bible even says that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Isn't that weird that we're considered friends enough to God that he would die? You had me at friends of God. I'm not a very interesting person. I'm not. I'm terrible at small talk. Terrible at it. I mean, I'll sit there with people and I'll start to, all right, I'm talking about a few things. If we've got something we can talk about for a little bit, I'm happy. But for the most part, I'll run out of stuff to talk about and I get real awkward. God wants to be my friend. Isn't that weird? I've had a lot of people down through the ages stop answering the phone for me and I stop picking up the phone for them. It just happens. You've done it. I've done it. We've all done it. Time moves on. But that God would think so much of you, so much of his friendship with you, that he would die for you? That's exactly what he has done for us. He saved us from our sin. Well, why did God do this? No. This is our sin at play. This is our sin. And he saves us from it. Not just from the overall consequence. Again, that would be enough. To save me from hell? Man, thank you. But then he gives my life preachers and teachers and the Bible to read and admonition against sin and admonition against bad thought processes and bad decision making. He gives me all these things to not just keep me from the penalty of sin, but to save me from what sin does in my life today. Over and over he blesses us. Over and over he gives. Because I tell you what, you can be saved and you sin and bad things will still happen. We need to be cautious about our errors, cautious about our failings, cautious about the things we do. Because sin still has temporary worldly consequences. Many of which add up inside the church and all of a sudden God's people get bad names. for looking down our noses at people in their sin while we're committing worse ones privately. That should never be the case for who we are. But that all sin, the reins of our lives, would be laid down at the feet of Jesus Christ in gratitude and thankfulness for his sacrifice to us. It was no small thing that the Lord would come and die for us. It is no small thing that he would take the time to even consider us. And we cannot, as I said this morning in our devotion, we cannot deny that gift. We cannot lay it. And just, well, one day, let that day be today, where we look to the Lord and we either say, thank you for the gift, or we've got the strength and we've got the desire to take the gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for this morning. But Lord, ultimately, we are grateful for your sacrifice. Lord, for the things that you've gifted us in salvation. Lord, your teaching, your doctrine, the things that you've taught us. Father, not that we would feel judged, nor that we would make other people feel judged, but so that, Father, we would have a clear indication of where we stood with you, and that, Father, we would see what it is that you've offered to help us. Lord, you're too good. You're too kind. You're too merciful. But Lord, I would pray that, Father, for those that are yours here today, that they would be grateful, and that, Father, you would call out to those that are still in need of that gift. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Stand together.